Good morning, folks. Thank you for coming here this morning. I guess I'll start by saying Merry Christmas as you're finding your seats. Thank you so much for being here today. And why are we here? Well, we're not here for another children's program or adult cantata or any other thing that we normally do during Christmas. This morning, this is the day that we celebrate the birth of Christ, and so this morning is going to be all about Christ, and that's why there's no one else up here with me. I want everyone to just have the opportunity to just focus on and worship Christ this morning as we celebrate his birth. Before we begin, let me mention that there is a Wednesday service this week and regular time, and then afterwards we'll be having a time afterwards in the fellowship hall for just some snacks and games, and bring your stuff with you, and we'll just have some time with each other as the year begins to close out. And then Thursday is very, very important. Thursday, 9 o'clock Thursday morning, we get to put Christmas in a box until next year. So everything in the church needs to come down and get cleaned up for the new year. So that'll be happening this Thursday at 9 o'clock. And then one last thing, because there is no one working today during the service, I've given the ushers even the time off today. If you've come with your offering, we definitely don't want you to go home with that. So in the back, as you walk out by the camera back there, there is a box where you can drop that, and then it'll get taken care of from there. And thank you for thinking of that even as you've come this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we have been celebrating Christmas, the birth of Christ, all month long, it seems like. And here we are now at the end, the day that we celebrate the actual birth of Christ. And we thank you for that gift, even as we look at different aspects of it today. But God, I pray that as everyone has come in here today, so many different households here, leaving their houses behind and coming here to what we call God's house to worship you. No doubt some came in with things weighing heavy on their minds, activities to come afterwards. And yet we need your help to focus our thoughts just on you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The first line in the Christmas carol, O come all ye faithful. Do you know what it is? O come all ye faithful, right? But then it goes on. It says joyful and triumphant. So this morning, let's take time to consider why it was joyful and why it was triumphant. Without going through the whole Christmas story again this month, Mary found herself to be with child. Joseph decided that he would marry her. The pregnancy moved forward, and Mary is now great with child. She is near delivering. And then what we read in Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Okay, that's where God inserts this information for us. Bad timing, if you're Joseph and Mary. they had to travel to his hometown of Bethlehem to be counted, a census, and to top it off, Merry Christmas, taxed and pay their tax. And it was about a 70-mile journey on foot with a very pregnant wife. So they began their journey. Of course, we know the story. When they got there, the little town of Bethlehem was packed. Like everything that is living, just think of it this way. Everyone that is living today that was born in Taylorville, returning to Taylorville all at the same time. Try finding a room, okay? The only lodgings that Joseph and Mary could find, a stable. Sing with me, if you would, that song, A Little Town of Bethlehem. Oh. So if you were Joseph, what would you be thinking right now? You get to Bethlehem. Oh, great. What else could go wrong with this time of relationship with Mary? Right from the beginning to where they're at now. My wife becomes pregnant before we're married. We suffer the shame of that. We have to travel some 70 miles for a census and to pay taxes. She's almost ready to deliver. And the only place we have to sleep is a stable. Here's a guy thing. But God had this all planned before the beginning of time. There was a reason for it. Something was about to happen. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That night, if we could pull ourselves away from the nativity scene that we know of Christmas. That night, God entered the world in the form of a baby in a stable. Now, why is that praiseworthy? Someone put it this way. That is praiseworthy because our greatest need wasn't just to have our sins paid for. Imagine you are trying to get entrance into a special organization. And the cost of that membership is $1 million. The problem is you don't have $1 million. But not only that, you currently have a debt of $1 million. Of course, you need to pay your debt. But being at zero still doesn't buy you entrance into that organization. You need a positive amount of $1 million. In the same way, salvation doesn't just require the absence of sin, but the presence of perfection. Jesus told us, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus came as an infant to earn that righteousness for us. A pure, flawless righteousness without one spot or wrinkle. He was made like us in all things. In infancy, in childhood, in adolescence, in adulthood, in sickness and health and joy and sorrow, in affliction and suffering, in the menial tasks and in the significant things. He was tempted in all things, just like we are. Yet, Hebrews 4:15 tells us, without sin. Jesus lived the perfect life, from birth to death, so that we might be, as we say, clothed in Him. The one who has become our righteousness before God. 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That infant lying in the manger is the only reason we can be saved. He wasn't just coming to remove our sins, but to earn our righteousness. Through His obedience, we are made righteous. Romans 5:19, it says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Being born in a manger was an act of extreme humility for Jesus. Think of this. Jesus, to whom all things submit, willingly submitted Himself to the limitations of humanity as an embryo in the womb of a teenager. Jesus, who upholds the galaxies, allowed Himself to be nourished in Mary's womb. Jesus, who made the trees that became the manger, allowed Himself to be cradled inside one of them. Jesus, who gives strength to all mankind, allowed Himself to be supported and held in human arms. Jesus, the one without beginning, allowed Himself to be born. Jesus, the Word, limited His language to helpless crying. Jesus, who knew no absence of honor, came into a world of bleeding goats and odors of livestock. No parade, no red carpet, no honor. Jesus, the future flaming-eyed judge of Revelation, first arrives as a harmless infant, unable to support the weight of His own head. Jesus, to whom all glory is due, laid aside His glory to descend to the filth of our sin-soaked atmosphere, where those worthy of shame are profanely hungry for glory. Sing with me again. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where He lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask Thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all. announcement was made that night that Jesus was born. What an announcement. In fact, I was reading some things. Nowhere else in the Bible do you have the entire host of heaven descending on earth and making an announcement. Look at everything that Jesus did in his life. The miracles, healing people, bringing people back from the dead. There were no angels announcing the greatness of it. The only thing about Jesus' life that brought angelic announcement and celebration was his birth. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. There they are, doing what they always do, every night. Nothing. Just sitting there in the field, in the doorway to a sheepfold, whatever the situation was. Just out there protecting their sheep. And suddenly, as the verse alludes to, the sky bursts open with light. And there's an angel, one, with a message. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down. And glory shone around, and glory shone around. And this shall be a sign unto you, the angel said, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And with that announcement right there, one angel, that announcement, the Bible tells us the sky explodes with a multitude of angels praising God because of that announcement right there. Sing with me again. Angels we have heard on high sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains. Heavenly host there in the sky. Bible doesn't say. Just a second, 30 seconds, minutes, an hour of the entire heavenly host praising God. We don't know. But at some point, it stopped and they're gone. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Okay. Suddenly they're gone. You're a shepherd. What do we do now? This was weird. Well, the Bible says they immediately left to go to Bethlehem. They were told that they would find the babe in a manger. A manger. Now, those are dirty. My time spent in barns, they're old. Bird droppings on stuff in the barn. They get knocked over by the animals. There's animal droppings on them. I mean, no one really does the dishes after the cows are done eating in a barn, okay? They get what's there. That's it. It was a very humble entrance into this world. Imagine if I was a farmer. I invite you over to my house for Christmas dinner today. You get there and you walk in the house and the table isn't set. And I announce, okay, it's time to eat. Come with me. We're going to eat in the barn. Would you not be offended? Now, should you be, shouldn't you be? I don't know. That's the topic perhaps for another sermon sometime. But the fact that we might be offended demonstrates the humbleness of how Christ entered the world. Can you see those shepherds rushing into Bethlehem, checking every manger as they went into town, into this village? And then they found the one, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore. What would you do if you were Joseph? I mean, what would you do if you were Mary? What would you have done if you were the innkeeper? Ever wondered that? Sometimes the innkeeper gets a pretty bad rap. But he was the only one out of all the innkeepers that offered the stable for Mary and Joseph to use. What would you do if you were a shepherd out there in the field that night? The Bible says when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, I remember when both of my children were born. And if you're a parent, you remember that too. What did I do when my first was born? That was the man child, the son, okay? Carry on the name. I had this corny button on my shirt. It was blue, baby blue, and it said, "It's a boy," or something like that. And I remember getting on the elevator at the hospital, and I left my wife's room for just a moment or two, and I got on the elevator, and our son was large. He was 9 pounds, 6 ounces when he was born. Okay, and I get on the elevator, and these two nurses are there talking about this woman that just gave birth to a 9-pound, 6-ounce boy. You know what I did? My chest, and I'm like, just about ready to do this when one of them said, "Oh, if that was my man that did that to me, I would mess him up." Wow. Aside from that experience right there, both my son and my daughter, you know what I did. It's what you did. I went around telling everyone, it's a boy, and he's perfect, and so is she, and they're beautiful. And I was telling everyone about my babies, and so did you. I wasn't shy about it, except the elevator. I was fearful there. I wasn't shy. I wasn't embarrassed about telling someone about the baby. I wasn't worried that, I don't know what I would say. Here's another song. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Are we fearful to tell it? Shy. We might be embarrassed. Might not know what to say. Oh, we know what to say. The shepherds had about four sentences from the angels. That's all they knew. And the Bible says they went around telling everyone. Imagine being a shepherd and telling that story to people. Oh, you're not going to believe it. I was out in the field tonight, and this angel came and spoke to me. And then the sky exploded with all of these angels and said, Jesus, a Savior, was born. And he's in a manger. The Messiah was in a manger. We saw him. Might be a little awkward. They didn't care what people thought. They just went and told everyone. The angel told Joseph prior to the birth that he would call the baby's name Jesus, which means Savior. And the angel told the shepherds about the Savior, and the angels also called him Christ, which means chosen one. This baby was the chosen Savior of the world. It was He who would save us from the penalty of our sin. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is why we celebrate Christmas. The chosen Savior came, and it's because He came that we can have eternal life. I'm so glad that y'all are here this morning. Being here doesn't get you any closer to heaven, though, because there's a debt that first has to be paid. Jesus paid that debt on the cross. He shed His blood for the repayment of our sin, for the forgiveness of our sins. And then He offers us a gift of eternal life. Because He lived a perfect life, when we get forgiveness from our sins, we also then get clothed in His righteousness. What a gift of all gifts right there. Have you ever accepted that gift? If you never accepted that gift, what a gift to receive on Christmas morning here today. He came so that we could have eternal life. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Let's go ahead and sing that first verse first. Up of thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Would you bow your heads, please? I wouldn't want anyone to come here this morning and leave without receiving that gift of forgiveness and eternal life. I wonder, maybe you walked in here this morning with sin in your life and you have no relationship with Jesus. You're trying to be good. You're trying to do better. But my friend, the Bible says we all fall short of God's glory. And so Jesus came. He first lived a life of perfection so that when he died, he not only took care of the penalty of our sin, but he was also able to then provide us with righteousness. I wonder, do you have that this morning? Forgiveness and the righteousness of God. If you don't, I want to offer that gift to you. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And you can just say it silently to yourself. But I want to say first, that prayer doesn't save you. It's what's in your heart. Do you believe that you are a sinner, that Christ did die for your sins, and you need a Savior? If you would say, yes, I definitely need that Savior, would you pray these words with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of Jesus. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I can't do anything about my sin. I believe that Jesus came to die for my sin. I accept your forgiveness of my sins. I accept Jesus as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are still closed. Let me ask you this. Did you just now pray that prayer? Would you raise your hand for me? Thank you. I see that. I see those hands. Yep, thank you. Thank you so much. Now, for the rest of us in here, we need to go tell it. Why don't we tell it? The shepherds told everyone they could find. So can we. If we focus on what it is we're telling them about, Jesus, the one they need the most. Heavenly Father, as we close this time this morning, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the humility of his birth, reducing him reducing himself to be just like us. In all points tempted like we are. He's been down the same road. He's been through the same things. He's experienced it all and has demonstrated righteousness in all of it. We thank you for the righteousness that we receive from him. So that when you look at us, you don't see our sin. You see only Christ's righteousness. God, help us as we leave here today to just go and tell it. In Jesus' name, amen.